This is part one. Can we know when Judgment Day is? In reference to Judgment Day, Jesus said, as recorded in Matthew 24:36, and similarly in Mark chapter 13:32, "But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Does this mean that absolutely no one can know the exact day of judgment? It seems on the surface that this is the case, especially when there are other Bible verses which seem to say the same thing, such as Matthew 24:42, "For you know not what hour your Lord come," or in the same chapter, verse 44, "For in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man comes," or in Matthew 25:13, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes." Or Luke 12:40, "For the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not." Or again in Mark 13:33, "Take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." But upon more careful examination of what Jesus said, in the context in which it was said, and ultimately in the context of the entire Bible, we know that this is not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus really meant by saying, "But of that day and hour knows no man," as we shall see, is this: that no human beings who are of this world and without the Spirit of God can discover the day of judgment, while those who are not of this world, but who are of the kingdom of God through the Spirit, can discover the very day and time, once the time of the end has come. This does not mean that every man who knows the day must have the Spirit of God and is therefore saved, but simply that this knowledge of the very day of judgment originates from, or comes from in the first place, the Spirit of God, and not from human beings or from flesh and blood at all. Let's begin our study by taking a closer look at the context of probably the most quoted verse in the Bible against being able to know when Judgment Day is, as recorded in Matthew 24, verses 36 through 39. We read, "But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." What is so interesting about the context of this verse is that we are told that Judgment Day and the coming of Jesus Christ will be as it was in the days of Noah. Because immediately after we read that no man knows the day and hour, Christ says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." This comparison with the coming of Christ and the end of the world with how it was in the days of Noah is a consistent teaching in the Bible, as in Luke 17, verse 26, where we read once again, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." And similarly, we read in 2 Peter 3, verses 6 through 7, "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Through such comparisons between the judgment of the flood and the final judgment of this world, it is clear that God wants us to look at how it was in the time of Noah in order to learn about how it will be at the coming of Judgment Day. So we are now compelled to ask the question, did any person or people know the exact day of judgment in the days of Noah? The answer is an emphatic yes. Noah and his family knew, and they were the only eight people who were saved out of probably over a million people at that time. God had said in the time of Noah, as recorded in Genesis 6:3, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years." And as the time of judgment got closer, God told Noah, as recorded in Genesis chapter 7, 4, verse 4, "And yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." Now remember that Jesus said that the coming of judgment day would be as in the days of Noah. Therefore, we would expect that the ones, if any, who would know the exact day of judgment would be the ones whom he is saving, as it was in the days of Noah. But if the people that God is saving will know the exact time, then why did Christ say, "But of that day and hour knows no man"? The logical answer in the light of the given context is, because the phrase "of that day and hour knows no man" does not refer to every single last human being, but only to everyone other than the people that God is saving. This is why Christ could say of all those of whom he was not saving, "They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." In other words, the ones who knew not until they were destroyed were the unbelieving and unsaved of the world, while Noah and his family of just eight people total were not included in this unsaved group, but were saved and knew the exact day and time of judgment. This is how it will be near the end of this world as well. The very few true believers in Christ will know the exact day of judgment, but the unbelievers, which includes all the false believers as well, will not know the exact time, and so will be swept away in the completely spiritual judgment of which the true believers now know from the Bible began on May 21, 2011, and will last until the end of this world and rapture of God's people into heaven. Now, we can further see that the phrase "knows no man" does not refer to every single last human being, but rather refers just to the unsaved of the world by how this same phrase or concept is used in some of the other passages of the Bible. We will first look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, where we read, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God." Now, does this mean that absolutely no man or person can know the things of God? Of course not. For we read in the very next verse, "Now we," that is the saved ones, "have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So the phrase "knows no man" in this passage cannot refer to every single human being, but must refer to only the unsaved who are of the spirit of this world, and who do not have the Spirit of God. Those who have the Spirit of God, on the other hand, namely the saved of the world, are not in the same category referred to by the phrase "knows no man." For they can know the things of God, as we just read in the Scripture. What we see, therefore, is the same use of the phrase "knows no man" as we saw in the passage where we read, "But of that day and hour knows no man." Namely, that the phrase "knows no man" does not mean that absolutely no one can know when the day of judgment is, or in the latter verse that we looked at, that no one can know the things of God, but rather those who have the Spirit of God, as did Noah, can know all these things, whereas the unsaved who do not have the Spirit of God can know nothing of the Spirit, like the Scripture says of them, "And them alone no man knows." And again, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 states, "The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." As another illustration to add further support that God is using the phrase "knows no man" in reference to unsaved humanity and not the saved when he says "no man knows," let's take a look at Romans 3, verse 10, where we read, "As it is written, there is none," that is like saying no man, "righteous, no, not one. There is none," that is no man, "that understands. There is none," that is no man, "that seeks after God." Now, does this mean that there's absolutely none or no persons who are righteous? None or no persons that understand? And none or no persons who seek God? I mean, if we want to take the "none" and say that it refers to every single last human being, then that is the conclusion that we must come to. But we who believe and have knowledge know that this is not the case, for according to the Bible, there are some who are righteous in God's eyes. There are some who understand, and there are some who seek after God. This is not because any person has any of these godly attributes in themselves of righteousness, understanding, and seeking God, but these are the very ones who have been made as such by the Spirit and salvation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the "none" does not refer to every single human being, just as the phrase "knoweth no man" does not refer to every single last human being, but is simply referring to all humans who are without salvation, without the Spirit, and without Christ. And in that sense, there are absolutely none who are righteous, none who understand, none or no man who seeks after God. And in that sense, and that sense alone, no man knows the exact day of judgment. But for those who are with salvation, with the Spirit, and with Christ, they can know. Perhaps a good way to help visualize all this is to see the unsaved people and the saved people as in two completely different kingdoms or worlds. Remember, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," John 18:36. So we can look upon all the unsaved as in this world, and we can look upon all the saved who are of Christ's kingdom as in another world, which is completely spiritual. Now, when God says that no man knows the day and hour, he has in mind that no man in this world knows the day and hour, and he can say this with absoluteness because in this world, in the flesh, without the Spirit, absolutely no one knows nor indeed can know. But on the other hand, Christ can also speak as if speaking about his kingdom or spiritual world with the same absoluteness, because in Christ's kingdom, in the Spirit and not the flesh, everyone who is saved can know as in the days of Noah. Because of these two conflicting and differing kingdoms or worlds, it should not be a surprise why we find some passages which seem to say that no man can know, while the other passages which teach the exact opposite. One is viewing things from the perspective of this world and unsaved man, while the other is viewing things from the perspective of Christ's kingdom or world, the realm of the saved and spiritual people of God. Now, what we have learned so far is that from the context of the verse, "but of that day and hour knows no man," it does not mean that absolutely no one can know the very day of judgment. But it does mean that none of the unsaved who have not the Spirit which is of God can know. We have seen this in both the context of the verse, "but of that day and hour knows no man," in Matthew 24, 36-39, as well as how the exact same phrase, "knows no man," is defined in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11-12. We have also seen how the concept of "no man knows" means no person who is without the Spirit of God and in the flesh, which the Bible calls the natural or carnal man, can know. Therefore, we can agree with those who say no man knows when the term man in the phrase knows no man is properly defined only as the natural, carnal, and without the Spirit of God people of this world. But we cannot agree with the blanket and incorrect statement that the phrase knows no man refers to every single last human being. But given all this, it is important to realize that no man, not even the saved, will be able to know the exact time until the time of the end. For as we were told through Daniel the prophet about 2,600 years ago in chapter 12, verse 4, shut up the word and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. In other words, even though this information has always been in the Bible, God hid it until the time of the end, which we are now in. And then he will open up and increase the understanding of his people to these very things. In fact, about 2,000 years ago, at the beginning of the New Testament church age, on Pentecost of 33 AD, Christ told his disciples in Acts 1:7, "It is not for you," literally in the Greek, "it is not of you, to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." The "it is not of you" simply emphasizes that to know the times or the seasons does and cannot originate in or come from human beings themselves. It is not of them, which is also what God meant by saying, "but of that day and hour knows no man." But it does not mean that there would or could never come a time in which these things would or could be revealed by the Spirit to human beings with origins only of God himself. Nevertheless, at the time of Christ saying these things about 2,000 years ago, it was not yet time for the times or the seasons to be revealed. So it was not to be the focus of Christ's disciples who were to be busy with the task of spreading the gospel. But when the time of the end came, which through the biblical timeline we now know to have begun in 1988 when judgment began on all the external or corporate churches, and the true believers were commanded to come out of them, and still are being commanded to come out of them, judgment still remains on them. God has taken the seal off of his word, the Bible, so that now, like never before, we can begin to know through the Spirit of God the exact time of judgment. In these last days, to know the times and the seasons is extremely important, for these things are exactly what Satan does not want you to know, as we read in Daniel 7, verse 25. "And he," that is Satan, "shall speak a great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws." So in summary, we learn that the phrase "knows no man" means this: no flesh by itself, or the natural man alone, separate and apart from God's Spirit revealing it, can know the day. It is not of man to know the day or the times and seasons, but it is of the Spirit to know these things and to reveal them to those who have the Spirit of God once the time of the end has come. The phrase "no man knows" does not refer to every last single human being in Scripture, but just to all those who are without the Spirit, just as it was in the days of Noah. Now, at this point, someone might say, or argue that is, not even Jesus knows the day, so how can you so arrogantly know the day? This, in actuality, is a misquote of Mark 13:32, which states, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." It doesn't say that Jesus doesn't know the day, but it says the Son does not know the day. It is just assumed that the word son in this verse refers to Jesus, because in many translations of the Bible, this word son is capitalized to set it apart as if it does refer to Jesus, the son, with a capital S. But we must understand that in the original language of this verse, the word son is not set apart by capitalization. It is in the same case as every letter surrounding it, which in the original manuscripts are all in the same case or size. And so the translators have taken some liberty that they should have never taken by assuming that this word son refers to Jesus. Remember, it's the original languages alone in which the Bible was first written which are absolutely perfect. In fact, there is good reason to believe that the Son, that phrase, the Son, in this passage does not refer to Jesus at all. This is because of all the passages which clearly teach that Jesus, the Son, is one and the same as the Father God, who knows all things. For instance, Jesus said in John 10, verse 16, I and my Father are one. And in John 14, 9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Scripture even said hundreds of years before Jesus was born, through Isaiah the prophet, that he, the Son, would be called the Father himself. As we read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. From passages such as these, and there are quite a few of them, it is clear that Jesus, at least in some respect, is one and the same as the Father. And in Colossians 2:9, we read this about Jesus. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in Colossians 1:16 we read, but by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And again, Scripture states in Hebrews 1:8, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So I ask you, how can all the fullness of the Godhead dwell in Jesus, who is the Almighty Creator God of all things, and yet he does not know the day of judgment? For if he lacked knowledge in anything, including the time of judgment day, how could all the fullness of the Godhead so dwell in him? Obviously, it could not. Jesus even says of himself in Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. Now, can one who is the beginning and the end not know the time of the end? Hardly. Since we must therefore conclude that Jesus, who is very God, knows the time of the end and of judgment, who then does the Son refer to in Mark 13:32, which states, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Some have concluded that the Son must refer to another mentioned in the Bible, such as the son of perdition, who is Satan, or some other son mentioned in the Bible. They reason that the phrase the son in reference to Satan may seem to fit well, because Satan is a celestial being, as are the angels which are said to not know the time in this same verse. So this would fit into the context quite well, so they think. But it seems to me that Satan is an angel. And so why would God say that, say the angels do not know the time, which would include Satan already, and then say that the son of perdition or Satan does not know the time once again? More importantly, the phrase the son alone most regularly gives reference to Jesus in the Bible. I counted 30 times in the New Testament, and once or perhaps twice in the Old Testament. Whereas I'm not aware of any verse that refers to Satan with just the simple phrase, the Son, which is really the most important phrase in this discussion. Oh yes, it could be being used in reference to Satan in the longer phrase, the son of wickedness, like Psalm 89:22, and the son of perdition in John 17:12 and 2 Thessalonians 2:3, and perhaps in the phrase son of the morning in Isaiah 14:12, but this is not really valid in Isaiah 14:12 because the article the is missing. But it is not used in reference to Satan anywhere that I'm aware of in just the phrase, the Son, which is a huge strike against the Son possibly referring to Satan. Or any other Son that is defined by any phrase longer or shorter than the exact phrase, the Son. In scanning the Bible for this phrase, it is clear that the Son, and not the son of someone or the son of something else, or a son of a human father, or the son in a given genealogical account, but the phrase the Son all by itself is a special term used to refer to Jesus alone. He's not just any son, but the Son. No one else can fit this designation. Additionally, Jesus is often called the Son of Man about 84 times in the New Testament, or the Son of God 41 times in the New Testament, or the Son of David 7 times, or the Son of the Living God 2 times, or the Son of Joseph 3 times, or the Son of Mary 1 time, or simply a Son about 6 times, and so on. In fact, he's called the Son of Man about 80 times in the Gospels alone, which makes this the most common designation for Jesus in the Gospels, which also, by the very connotation of the phrase alone, is placing a great emphasis upon his humanity, the Son of Man. Take a look at all the Bible verses which define Jesus by the exact same phrase, the Son, found in Mark 13:32. There are a ton of them. They are listed on the site in the written section of this message, so I'll not go through all of them. But here I'll mention just a couple of them. There's actually about 25 verses. Psalm chapter 2 verse 12 says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way." That's clearly referring to Jesus. Proverbs 3:12 states, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the Son in whom he delighteth." Again, could be referring to Jesus. Matthew 11:27, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Clearly the phrase the Son is referring to Jesus. And there's, like I said, there's 25 references which all must be seen as in that the phrase must be referring to Jesus. Now, what I want to do is notice how the sentence structures in a couple of these verses are quite similar to Mark 13:32. Mark 13:32 states, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." I want to focus on that phrase, "the Son, but the Father." Luke 10:22 and Matthew 11:27 use that same phrase and terminology in clearly referring to the Son. Luke 10:22 states, "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father." Matthew 11:27 states, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father." There we see that again. It's clearly referring to Jesus. As we focus in on the phrase the Son, but the Father, we see that each of the above passages have the same structure as did Mark 13:32. So since the phrase the Son in both Luke and Matthew is clearly in reference to Jesus, so it is quite logical to conclude that the Son in Mark 13:32 also refers to Jesus. But even far more convincing is the fact that in virtually all of the above 25 passages, which clearly define the phrase the Son alone as being Jesus, the Son is always very closely connected with the Father in the given passage. I do not know of any scriptures anywhere where this close connection to the Father could be said of Satan or some other son in the Bible. Since this close connection is also seen in Mark 13:32, neither the Son but the Father, it is quite logical to define the Son in this passage as being Jesus, just as do all the other scriptural examples. And we could go on and on with the evidence to show that the Son in Mark 13:32 must refer to Jesus. But for the sake of brevity, let me bring just one more thing to your attention. Even though we know the Scripture clearly teaches Jesus to be God Himself, and that Jesus and the Father are one, and if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, there is clearly a difference in administration between the two. For instance, Jesus only spoke what the Father wanted Him to speak. John 12:50 states, "And I know that this His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, that is Jesus, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." So Jesus spoke exactly what the Father wanted Him to speak. Furthermore, we also read that the times and the seasons are not in the hands of Christ, but in the power or control of the Father. And we see this in Acts 1:7. "And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and or the seasons, which the Father hath put in His own power." Now these differences in administration, that Jesus didn't speak what He wanted to speak, but only spoke exactly what the Father told Him to speak at the time, and that the times and seasons are not mentioned as in control of Jesus, but in the power or control of the Father, can help explain how the phrase the Son in Mark 13:32 can refer to Jesus, who in the context spoke about all the signs of His coming and judgment, as if He knew all things, while in the exact same context then said, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son," as if He did not know all things. He was simply following the Father's command to say of Himself that He didn't know the day and hour. And doing this had nothing to do with Him knowing or not knowing, but had everything to do with obeying the commandment of the Father at the time for the Father's own purposes. Now, in the light of all the evidence, it is quite difficult, if not impossible, to see the phrase the Son here in Mark 13:32 as referring to anyone but Jesus Himself. I wonder, how could anyone ever say that the Son in Mark 13:32 cannot possibly be Jesus? Wisdom cries out and says, how could it not be Jesus? The reason that many say it cannot refer to Jesus is because Scripture says that Jesus and the Father are one. And if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Therefore, as the Father knows the day, so must Jesus. But this is a faulty argument, as we will see a little later. I am afraid that many of the people who cannot see that the Son in Mark 13:32 is Jesus are viewing the trees, but missing the forest. I believe there is a much better explanation for the Son than saying very weakly it must refer to the son of perdition, who is Satan, or some other son than Jesus Himself. In fact, I believe in the light of all the evidence that the phrase the Son must refer to Jesus, but not to all His deity or fullness, for we have already concluded that Jesus, in the fullness of who He was, namely the one and only almighty and all-knowing and infinite Creator God, by definition, must have known the time. But rather, The phrase the Son here does refer to Jesus, the Son, but only from the perspective of viewing him in a sense artificially in his human nature or natural man alone while he was yet on earth and before he was glorified. This is a complete exercise of the mind alone. Let me try to explain. Yes, it is true that Jesus was fully God while he was on earth, but it is also true that he was fully man. He was the Son of God, and he was the Son of Man. Both natures so intermingled and inseparable in reality, except in one's mind. This is one of the most crucial doctrines of Christianity, and as a man, he hungered and had to eat food. He thirsted and had to drink. We read that the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, Luke 2:40. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, Luke 2:52. He had to have learned how to walk and talk, and also Jesus therefore being wearied, that is, he grew tired with his journey, sat thus on the well, John 4:6. And he slept, Mark 4:38. We read that he was in all points tempted like as we are, Hebrews 4:15. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, Hebrews 5:8. Whereof in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, Hebrews 2:17. And Christ himself even said, My Father is greater than I. So he was a man in every respect, and so on, in that in his humanity, Scripture clearly teaches that he was like we are in every way, yet without sin, of course, Hebrews 4:15. Being born of a woman, he clearly had limitations as a man, some of which were just listed, and these limitations immediately opened the door to him having been limited in knowledge in respect to not knowing the exact day, as declared in Mark 13:32, while yet on earth. But in his deity or God nature alone, artificially viewed and separated from his human nature, in the mind only, it's just something you can only do in the mind, he, God, would not get hungry. He's God. He would not get hungry and so need to eat. God thirst and need to drink. He would not grow in stature and wisdom and in favor with God. He would not learn obedience or learn how to walk and talk. He would not be tempted as we are in all things, for God cannot be tempted, James 1:13. Nor would he, that is God, need to rest from being tired, because God is all-sufficient and powerful and needs nothing at all, including water and food. He would also be all-knowing and learned, and so there would be no room for growth in any respect, because he is infinite. And so grown and learned to the farthest extent, and can grow or mature no further. And he could most certainly not say that the Father is greater than he. In his God nature, he would know all things, including the day and the hour of judgment day. Therefore, when the Scripture says that neither the Son knows the day and hour, this can be only in reference or due to his human nature, while he was yet on earth and not yet glorified. In this respect alone, it could be said of Jesus, he did not know the time. But in his God nature alone, Jesus has always known the time, and especially in his now God glorified state ever since he returned to heaven about 2,000 years ago. He certainly knows the exact day. As an illustration to hopefully help clarify, it's like when the Scripture says in John 3:9, Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. This seems to say that someone who is born of God or saved cannot sin. But we know from many other scriptures that this cannot be the case. So how can this verse be explained? Well, it can be explained by viewing this verse as only referring to the new resurrected spiritual nature of a saved individual, artificially viewed in the mind alone. Separate and apart from their still remaining sinful flesh nature. It is only in this sense that a saved person could be said to not sin. But if a saved person is viewed as they really are in reality, with both a new spiritual nature and a remaining sinful flesh nature that are so intermingled and inseparable in real life, it is not true that a saved person cannot sin, for their sinful flesh has not yet been completely saved. And these two natures war against one another, the spiritual against the remaining sinful flesh nature. And there are times when the old sinful flesh nature shows its ugly head. Just read Romans chapter 7. Now, in a similar way of artificially viewing in the mind alone the human nature of Jesus as separate and apart from his God nature, when the scripture says that the Son, Jesus, does not know the day and hour, it could be viewing him in his flesh nature or natural man alone, separate and apart from his spiritual nature, which is fully God. Or it is simply viewing him in his humanity with all his limitations that having become a man brought upon him. Whatever the case, it is only because of his human nature that it could ever be said of the Son that he does not know the time, in the similar way that it is only because of a saved person's new spiritual nature that it could ever be said that such a one cannot sin. But when viewing Jesus in his God nature alone, which we could not do except in the mind, it could never be said that there is something he does not know. For in that great sense, he has always been and always will be God who knows all things. The answer to those who say, how can you know the day and hour when not even Jesus knows then, therefore is this. When Scripture says that Jesus does not know the time, it is in some way in reference or due to his human flesh nature as a man. Either viewed in the mind alone, completely separate and apart from his God nature, or simply due in some way to the limitations of his human flesh and blood or natural man nature. We are given warrant to artificially separate in the mind alone the natures of a person, and Jesus was a person, by a scripture such as 1 John 3:9, which we have already seen does this very thing to help us better understand the personage of the saved individual. There are many other scriptures which do this as well, such as in Romans chapter 7 and many other passages. And we are also given warrant by all the many passages that actually and obviously do view Jesus from the standpoint of his humanity. I previously mentioned some of these verses, including the comment Jesus made my Father is greater than I. Indeed, the very connotation of the most used phrase to designate Jesus in the Gospels, namely the Son of Man, itself forces us to focus in on his humanity. And by focusing in on the human nature of Jesus in this passage of Mark 13:32, as do many other scriptural examples, God is telling us that human flesh and blood alone, or the natural man by itself, cannot know the time, just as we had previously already learned in Acts 1:7 when it stated, it is not of you to know the times and seasons. And also in Matthew 24:36 and now Mark 13:32 when it says, no man knows. In other words, it is not of, or it does not originate from or come from human flesh to know the day of judgment. This is true even of the flesh and blood of Jesus himself, who was every bit as human as we. I believe that Jesus is basically teaching the same thing in Matthew 16:17. In this passage, Jesus asks Peter who he thought he was. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Just as it was not flesh and blood, therefore not a human being, nor the human flesh and blood nature of Jesus Christ himself that revealed to Peter Christ's deity, so also it is not human beings, including the human nature of Jesus himself, while yet on earth, that could know the very day of judgment and his and the time of his coming. But this in no way means that Jesus did not know after he ascended into heaven in his glorified state, and that there could never come a time in which the day and time would be revealed to human flesh by the Spirit alone, with origins separate and apart from the flesh, as it now has been taking place with origins of God, the Holy Spirit alone. So once again, how can we know when not even Jesus knew? First of all, Jesus in his God nature alone did know. And he certainly now knows in the glorified state in which he is in ever since he had ascended to heaven. We must make this clear. But in his flesh, or human nature when he was still on earth, viewed artificially separate and apart from his spiritual or God nature in the mind alone, or simply viewed in his humanity while on earth, it could be said that he did not know, being fully man and so willingly encompassed with limitations. In the same way, no man who is in the flesh alone and not given the Spirit of God can discover the very day. But once he has the Spirit of God, he can discover the day, once the Spirit of God has revealed it to him, at the time of the end, with origins completely of God himself and not of man, or of flesh and blood at all. Please understand, I am not saying in any of this discourse that every man who knows the day has the Spirit and must be saved, but I am saying that the knowledge of that day had to have originated in the first place from no human being, but from the Spirit of God alone, who dwells in all of God's people. Before concluding on this topic of the phrase the Son, I think it is important to recognize that none of this takes away from the deity of Christ, as some are teaching. My heart is just grieved when I hear someone say that to believe that the Son refers to Jesus is a denial of God himself. No, it is not. We are simply artificially viewing in our minds alone the person of Jesus, who is God. There you have it. I just said he's God. In his two natures, separate and apart from each other, in our minds alone, or simply in his humanity, as we have shown Scripture gives us warrant to do by many scriptural examples. He was fully God, and he was fully man while he was yet on earth, without yet being glorified, except, of course, when he was transfigured in Matthew 17:2. To view him in just his humanity is not denying his deity. Nor is viewing him in just his deity denying his humanity. Scripture allows for both, and therefore so can we. Was Jesus God? Absolutely. Was Jesus man? Absolutely. We can deny neither. So we must be careful not to apply these in an incorrect way. One is the other, and the other is the one, which I believe has been done by those who so adamantly require that the Son in Mark 13:32 not in any way refer to Jesus. They say that Jesus is the same as the Father, and therefore, as the Scripture states in Mark 13:32 that it is the Father who knows the very day, so must have Jesus known the day, for Scripture says of Jesus, I and the Father are one, and he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. But there is a fallacy in this argument, as I mentioned earlier. For even though Scripture does say that the Father and Jesus are one, and that if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, this cannot possibly mean they are both exactly the same in every respect, which is required for such an argument to hold any weight. I ask you, did the Father have human flesh, grow tired, learn obedience, grow in stature and wisdom? Was he tempted as we? Could the Father say that someone else was greater than he and experience all the other things as did the Son, Jesus, in his humanity? Of course not. For God the Father is Spirit, John 4:24. So herein lays the difference and issue. The flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly the point. Yes, it could be said of Jesus that in his deity or God nature, he had to have known the very day. But when we separate his two natures in our minds alone and focus in on only his flesh and blood, or simply just focus in on his humanity, as Scripture so regularly does, we can not only say that Jesus did not know the day, but we can also say Jesus and the Father were not one and the same, unless, of course, you think that the Father had human flesh as did Jesus, when Scripture says that he's a spirit, which would contradict clear biblical teaching. Therefore, we know that when Scripture says that Jesus and the Father are one, and that if you have seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, is not in reference to the flesh and blood or human nature of Jesus, but to the spiritual or God nature of Jesus alone. And so cannot in any way be used to argue against Jesus being the Son in Mark 13:32. It is a faulty argument. In my mind, the only way it can be shown that the Son does not refer to Jesus at all is to either deny his humanity, which would be to move in the direction of heresy. You can study docetism in the early Christian history to see this. Or else show that Scripture does not allow for the viewing of a person's natures artificially in our minds alone, separate and apart from each other, like 1 John 3:9 does in many other scriptures. As well as show that Jesus had no limitations in his humanity, which would prove that Jesus in his humanity had to have known the very day of judgment and the day of his coming. All this, I believe, would be quite difficult, if not impossible, to do. I have heard it said that the Son in Mark 13:32 is put there as a test. If it is, there's nothing to necessitate such a belief in the context. The test must be this. Will an individual believe that the Son is Jesus, as Scripture makes so abundantly clear? Or will he believe the teaching of man that the Son cannot be and does not refer to Jesus? So in summary, we have learned that when Scripture says neither the Son knows the day and hour, it is focusing in on the fact that no man knows in his human nature or natural man alone, including Jesus, when viewed in his human nature or natural man alone while yet on earth. But this in no way means that he did not know in the fullness of who he was as both man and God, and certainly cannot mean that he doesn't now know while in his glorified state in heaven. Of course, he knew and knows all things. So how can we know when not even Jesus knew? First of all, Jesus in his fullness as both God and man did know. And in his now glorified state in heaven, he absolutely knows. We must make this clear. But in his flesh, or human nature viewed separate and apart from his spiritual or God nature while he was yet on earth, he did not know, being fully a natural man. In the same way, no man who is in the flesh and not given the Spirit of God can know. But once he has salvation and so has the Spirit of God, he can know once the Spirit of God has revealed it to him with origins completely of God himself and not of man at all. This concludes part one of Can We Know When Judgment Day Is?